kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I want to share and exhort you in the word today, and I have a title for our teaching as usual, and we're calling our teaching today, Disciples Will Avoid Being Impulsive. Disciples will avoid being impulsive. And I'm basing this teaching from the book of Jude, that small book, the book of Jude, Jude 20. And here it says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So we get the idea of what is being said here, that we build ourselves up in the faith. And we know that Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, reading the word. So it is vital that we are built up in the faith. I've said many times, but we are like spiritual batteries. A battery has to be recharged. Your battery in your car has to be recharged if it's to function as you want it. And so we take that over the same into the spiritual as Christians. We have to be spiritually recharged. And that is why God calls us together. He calls us under the anointing, under the unction of the Spirit. And the Word of God is certainly the means of which our faith is built upon these promises. So this is, of course, what is being said here, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And we are so aware, aren't we, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, faith spiritually changes all things. Now, we get the idea here of faith as a building or a monument. So each of us are like a building. We are being built. We get the idea, of course, of this, of the potter and the clay. The potter who has this grey lump of clay moulding, perfecting this vessel and producing this vessel a vessel of honour. Or it's a type of monument, it's something that is seen. And of course our faith in the church is to be a light set on a hill. It's a beacon for the world to see. And faith keeps it alive. Faith keeps it ignited. It keeps that light going. This is why we make so much about faith, believing in these promises. And like all buildings, as we know, it takes time to build. In fact, it's a lifetime in which God is building and working within us. And therefore, there's no place for being impulsive or impatience, because this can cause spiritual structural damage. And I think we've all of us at times have experienced where we have gone before God, or we have been impulsive, we couldn't wait, and we find that things go very wrong. You see, we find that there is nothing impulsive with our Lord. There was nothing impulsive in Christ's ministry. He was completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. He moved as the Spirit led him. He never tried to move in front or behind his Father. He was always yielding over to the Spirit. And this is what God is training and doing with us. And this is why he has sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, to come into our lives, baptizing us in the Holy Spirit, so that we learn also not to be impulsive. You see, our Lord never got into a panic. How many times have we got into a panic? And you find when you get into a panic, things go wrong, or there can be damage. We see people in mobs can get in fear and in panic, and look at the damage that can be caused. So we get these ideas, don't we? We see what it can do. And this is why we never get into a panic, because God is in control. You see, much of Christianity is built on our impulsive nature. And this is a tragedy at times that goes on in the house of God. You cannot build a ministry on being impulsive. It won't be blessed. Very often, impulsive Christians or overzealous Christians are the ones that do more harm in the house of God. I am convinced that more heresies have been brought into the house of God through impulsive and zealous Christians. And this is why we have to learn to wait on God and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Because that is what he's come for, to lead and guide us into what? Into all truth. But you see, if you are impulsive, you can't wait on God, then you won't hear from God. And you will not really be sensitive to walking in the Spirit. You'll all the while identify, or you'll think you'll identify God, but it's really in the flesh. And these are the big problems. And God doesn't bless it because it hinders God working through you. And I think we've all of us at times have run ahead, or we find we can't wait, or this trial that I've been going through has gone on too long, or I'm waiting in faith for the answers to my prayer and everything, and it's just all taking far too long. And this is where we have to be taught, we have to learn that patience, that waiting on God. Most of the Christian life is actually waiting on God. In fact, we could say, and it would not be scripturally wrong to say, my life is waiting on the Lord. Now, a lot of Christians would look at you and say, well, you're not much good. You're certainly not going to be used in the kingdom or whatever it is. Well, we need to read the word of God. Jesus' life was waiting on his Father, because it's through the waiting that the works are achieved. The work is done. You see, everything that God does with us is completely opposite to what the world has taught us, what our parents taught us, what education taught us. We have to undo the whole lot. That is why we become a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And this is what we're learning. It's all new to us. It's not something we can do within ourselves. And this is why God has come baptizing us in the Holy Spirit. He has come to take over in our lives. I say constantly, and I will say it again, we have to get out of the way of God. We are the hindrance. So often God is waiting on us instead of we waiting on him. Have you ever thought how disrespectful that is? But God is merciful. He's gracious and he's loving and he's long-suffering, and he knows it takes quite a while, doesn't it, to drop that 18 inches from our head to our hearts. But we have got to learn to wait on God. You see, so often impulsive Christians, you know, when they've been impulsive, they've run before God and things haven't turned out as it should be. How often they try to justify their actions because they've looked foolish. How often have we done it? We've looked foolish. We've run ahead of God and we try to justify it, or we try to spiritualize it, you know. Well, God knew and he used it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Instead of being completely honest and saying, I ran before God. I got out of the will of God. I made a hash of it, but God had mercy. You don't very often hear that come from Christians. You see, it's interesting, isn't it? An impulsive nature is acceptable in a child, but not in a man or a woman. And there is the difference. And Christians that are impulsive, that can't wait on God, that want to take things into their own hands, what they're simply proving spiritually, they are immature. They're like children. We accept it with a child, but not with grown-up people, because it's the damage it causes. And not only that, it gives such a bad witness. You see, impulsive people are often spoiled people. And you see, the Holy Spirit has to train in this area. You see, God doesn't spoil us. He doesn't give in to our tantrums. He doesn't give in to us because I've been waiting now a month or 6 months or whatever it is and I'm fed up with waiting. God doesn't give in to that. Not like our parents did at times. He doesn't do that. He's teaching us to move with him. He's teaching us to get out the way so that he can take over. We too often are the hindrance. God will build his church. God will build your life. God will do everything to glorify his name in and through us. What he's looking from us is for us to yield to him. In other words, obedience. And we're not, are we? We're not always obedient. That's the problem. Because we like to be in control. We want to do it, you see. And so the Holy Spirit has to come and to train and to work in our lives. And this is where he's merciful, he's gracious, he's loving, he's long-suffering. Until we come to the end of ourselves and we realize what a hash we've made of things or of our life and so on. Up until then, we continue to justify ourselves until we run out of questions, till we run out that we haven't got any more excuses. You see, walking on water is easy to one who's impulsive and bold, but walking on dry land in a desert with Jesus as a disciple is completely different. And there is the difference. Impulsive people, they want those miracles now. But you see, you have to be trained. And where are we trained? We're trained in the wilderness, where it's dry, it's barren, where nobody can survive. In the natural, that's where God took the children of Israel. He took them into the right conditions. He took a whole nation. into the wilderness. You never do that in the natural. But there he provided for them because it was going to take the wilderness for them to learn to walk by faith. But of course we know they rebelled against God. They were stiff-necked. But that is what God is doing with you and I. That is where you learn to hear from God, is in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, you can't be impulsive. You can't be impatient. In the wilderness, it's where you learn to wait on God and where you hear the voice of God and where you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit who teaches you to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. I'm interested talking about this, you know, walking on the water. We know Peter was an impulsive man, and God had to do a real work in him. You see, he could walk on water. Yes, he could walk on water, and it doesn't take a lot of faith, trust me, to walk on water. But we see a different Peter. Turn with me to Mark 14 and verse 54. Mark 14 and verse 54. We don't see an impulsive Peter now. Look here where Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin. And look what it says in verse 54. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. So he's no longer with Jesus at this point. Where's that boldness? Where was it being impulsive? No, it's gone. It hasn't done anything in his life. It hasn't produced anything. It doesn't. But you see, the Lord didn't give up on him. That's the wonderful thing about it. And he found that all that in the flesh, what he relied upon, he couldn't rely on it anymore. And we know what happened. He betrayed the Lord. And impulsive, impatient people very often betray the Lord when push comes to shove. And this is why God deals with us in the way that he does. Because he wants us reliable. He wants us resolute. He wants us to be able to stand and endure to the end. And in to do that, he has to remove all those hindrances, the flesh within our lives. Because impulsive, zealous Christians have brought more damage into the church than anything else. And this is why we need the grace of God to live 24/7, going through everyday routine. And that's what it is at times. We get up and we go through the same routine, until we begin to learn to meet with the Lord in that routine, and that we walk with him in fellowship, and that he's actually there in that mundane routine. And that routine is often being unnoticed. You very often are not thanked, particularly if you go that extra mile, or you have really done somebody a favour, or whatever it would be. Yes, I know all about it. I know what it's like to be a doormat. But that is where Jesus is, very often in those mundane things, because he's teaching us to be servants, to serve. And a servant is one that's not noticed very often. In the background, just getting on with it and doing what God wants one to do, you see. But to a person who's impulsive, that's hard. That's difficult. And there's a lot of pride that God has to deal with. This is why Jesus gave an example of washing the disciples' feet. He was revealing that he was a servant to serve. And that's the ministry. That was the example he was showing the disciples. And when the Holy Spirit comes, baptizing us, when he comes to lead and guide and teach us, he comes also to teach us to serve. Hallelujah. You know, someone said this as I wrap this up. We think we have to do exceptional things for God. We don't. We do exceptional things in everyday life activities. I'll give that again. We think we have to do exceptional things for God, but we don't. We do exceptional things in everyday life activities. And that is our training ground, brothers and sisters. And when we get that right, then God can move us to the next thing. And then he can entrust us with greater things. And we can take on more responsibility. But God knows how to train us and teach us so that we are effective in the vineyard. We are effective in the harvest. And we can be part of those laborers that God uses in which to share the good news of the gospel. Because you have so been trained, you have so walked with Jesus, that the people will see it and they will know that you have been with him. It is not simply words, but also actions. And that is why God has come, that he is to take over, that we are to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in and through us, both individually and corporately, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, there we are. Disciples will avoid being impulsive. Father, again, we have need of hearing these admonitions and encouragements. Lord, we have all at times been impulsive, overzealous. We've tried to spiritualize it and cover it up or whatever. But Lord, you know. And like Peter, you didn't give up on him. You restored him back into fellowship. And in your mercy and grace, you do the same with us. And that's why we're here today in fellowship. It is a sign you've not given up on us when at times we've fallen so flat on our face. Father, we thank you. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. It's always a joy and a blessing to share the word with them. And Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and always keep them. Father, may they walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. May they always know the covering of the blood of the Lamb. Give them the words and the wisdom. Use them, Father, in these last days. And Father, I pray above all, you'll preserve and keep them from the evil one. For this we ask now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow.
Jesus.